So I understand this is the UFO show.
Yes, it is. It's the unidentified flying objects. Or what's the other thing that UFO stands for now? It's
I don't know.
It's like unidentified flying. Well, this is a stupid way to start the show.
Well, we got that off to a bang. Hopefully,
I was going to drop my George Tsoukalicious on you and go like, ancient astronauts and all that, and then I couldn't remember that there's another term for UFO that they changed the what the abbreviation was or something like that, or I don't know. Wow, this is awful.
Yeah, this may be the show that ends our run. 29. Look, they made it to 29.
We already know we're not recording next week, so I don't want anyone to go like, oh my God.
Oh God, they're gone. They quit. They gave up.
It does kill the show. But I wouldn't be surprised if we don't come back. We might be abducted.
There. Or taken by the Men in Black, or you know, the government's going to be like, they started talking again. That was just our little teaser. There will be some UFO conversation a little bit later on. Well, I don't know if it's going to be conversation, but...
And by later on, I mean right now. So the cool news, here's the deal, everyone. John's got a documentary. It's coming out. It's available in some places already, but it's coming out on Netflix, which is kind of a big deal. And I don't know, John, if you know, but I'm very up to date with a lot of the pop culture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always checking to see what's coming out on Netflix and Hulu and, you know, what new TV shows and movies are being released. And I was very pleasantly surprised to see that your film is coming out July 3rd-ish.
July 3rd. Yeah, July 3rd. Yes. And it was not supposed to be July 3rd. So it was a complete surprise to me when I got the Google alert that said, hey, Netflix is launching Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek story on July 3rd. We were expecting it later this summer. So it was
more like an unexpected flying object.
It was. It was. For us, it definitely was. So before we get too far into this, this is episode 29 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumpel.
Unidentified Foul Territory.
There you go. UFT. I'm John Sumpel. He's Jed Rigney. And we're going to... do our best to entertain you for the next hour and 10 minutes or so.
It's just about an hour and eight, right?
Hour and eight. We're in that ballpark.
You know what it is? It's 69 minutes, man.
We nice. Strive. We strive.
Children at heart, or teenagers. Yes. Maybe not children. It's, children shouldn't be worrying about 69ing. 420, yes.
My wife sometimes, after we're done recording, will say, you guys kind of got carried away and went down a rabbit hole of the giggles. And it's like, that's kind of what we do.
Guilty as charged.
Yes.
But she'll be done with her menopause soon, and then maybe she won't care.
Yeah, that came up in conversation over the weekend at a friend's house. They happened to listen to the show and wanted to know if my wife was okay with us talking about her menopause on the show. And we now have done that 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. We're going to have a new segment. It's going to be the Devin Travis / menopause segment.
She's going to love the fact that we're going to bring her up along with Devin Travis. And Devin Travis, by the way, does not have menopause issues to my knowledge.
He's still an exceptional player, though.
Yes, he is. Okay, let's get into headlines. We've got a whole bunch to run through here. This is probably not a big news item to most people, but as a Marlins fan, Adeni Echevarria was moved by the Marlins to the Rays for a pair of minor leaguers.
First of all, the reason why I put this story up first is because this is the first like real trade,
mm-hmm.
like from a team, the Marlins, who are crapping out, like dumping a player.
A sign of things to come, potentially.
The season has begun.
Yes.
You know, and it's like sometimes, you know, like there's like, it's like the movie season. Like sometimes the first movie that comes out in the big movie seasons isn't that amazing. This would be like that.
It's interesting because the Marlins are only 5 games under 500. They're 9 games out of a playoff spot, but the entire National League is pretty much settled as far as the playoffs are concerned.
Yeah, man, it's going to take a heck of a lot for that.
Yeah, for anybody to come back into that.
Though,
into that,
you know, it's not like the Rockies aren't making it easier on everyone.
No.
They're 7-game losing streak.
No, but it is amazing. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago. The American League, the last place team is only 6.5 games out of a playoff spot. The Marlins, who are, I think, the third removed from a playoff spot, are 9.5 out. So it's pretty much all she wrote in the National League unless somebody goes on a hot streak.
Yeah.
Speaking of teams that need a lot of help.
Oh, one more thing I wanted to say about that.
Go ahead.
What's interesting for you fantasy baseball guys is Hecheverria. That's my pronunciation. I'm American. I have problems. Whatever. Okay. He's a much better defender for the Rays. So this automatically makes all the Rays pitchers better.
Ooh.
At him, if you were a little worried about Odorizzi or who are the other guys down there? Archer was having a great season. But they're all going to be a little bit better. And then when Kiermaier comes back on defense, this is going to be a very good defensive fielding team.
Unless you're Blake Snell, who walks everybody in like his return today and walked six or walked five, gave up six earned runs in five innings.
The thing is, that's what he went down to the minors for, was to handle that walk problem. And he cleaned it up and he came back to the majors.
He's got
unclean.
The Jose Barrios scenario where – not that he was lighting it up by any means like that down in the minors, but he was not. His K rate was up and his walk rate was down when they sent him back down. He comes back up and he picks up right where he left off a month ago.
Hey, you know who's exciting, who is doing the opposite of that? No offense, because I know you're still upset about the Snell thing, but Sean Newcomb for the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was walking four or five guys a game in the minors. They called him up. He's walking like one guy a game.
That's
a turnaround.
Yeah,
that's
maybe
awesome.
Maybe we should put Blake Snell in touch with him, see what's going on.
Right, like hey, Sean, what are you doing over there?
Right.
Answer: probably steroids.
he's gassing it up just a little bit more and walking.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's really incredible though. Like he's all over the strike zone and he's got control now that he never showed. Anyway, it's exciting to watch. Because, you know, the Braves have a ton of, like, really good prospects. But they haven't had, like, that great prospect. And all their pitchers are, like, really good prospects. But they're not like, Noah Syndergaard from a few years back. So, but it'd be great if one of them. I mean, I guess that's the move, right? Is you get, like, a dozen and one of them works out. Or two, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, so now we're talking about the Braves all of a sudden. I apologize. What were you going to say about the Nationals?
Well, I was going to say this week in the Nationals imploding bullpen, in an effort to stop the bleeding, they went out and signed a heck of a player.
They picked up King Bleeder.
Yeah. King Bleeder, yeah.
K-Rod, the walking hemorrhage.
Yeah, who was basically ceremoniously dumped and now has been picked up. I don't see that as the solution. That to me doesn't excite anybody.
They're probably just hoping that a change of scenery will help them out and move to the National League, whatever. But this strikes me a lot like, hey, we need another pitcher. I've never seen a bullpen as bad as this. And then the GM's like, oh, you haven't, have you?
Well, the Papelbon's still out there, isn't he?
Hey, I'm still out there, John.
Yeah, we got a shot.
I could do as well as these guys are doing.
Speaking of not doing too well, Schwarber sent down, AAA.
The beloved Kyle Schwarber.
It's not a surprise, really. You know, it makes a lot of sense given how young the team is, how poor they're playing based on where they should be, to just send him down, get a little bit of confidence back. It seemed to work with Mike Zunino, who was probably one of the worst players in baseball.
Don't give me this Mike Zunino garbage, John. Don't compare.
Zunino.
You just made all the Cubs fans cry. You compared Schwarber to Zunino.
Well, in this moment, Zunino is an all-star compared to Kyle Schwarber.
Well, but you know what I'm hoping? This is a better example, is Rougned Odor. Remember a couple years ago, he was garbage. And they sent him down to the minors, and he got something fixed and came up and hit the cover off the ball for a year and a half, and then became kind of garbage again this year. But like this, Schwarber came up and was hitting, and then was all set for that big year last year, and then blew his knee out playing out the left field in the way only Kyle Schwarber could, and came back for the World Series and a big playoff story, and everyone. I mean, I was in love with this guy. I've talked to you about him off the show before. Like I thought he was going to be one of those guys, like power, on base skills, you know, charisma. And that's the reason why I think that he wasn't traded in the last year was because everyone loved him so much on the Cubs organization. Mm-hmm. Now he's in AAA trying to get stuff sorted out.
Well, the reason why I made the comparison to Zunino,
it's because you're mean.
I had him in my fantasy league. And because I thought after last year being sent down, he righted the ship and played well the last 2 months of the season, and that he was going to be, you know, back on track for this year. And he was worse in the first month and a half of this season than he was last year in the opening of the season. He goes down again for a month. He had no home runs and 10 RBIs or 9 RBIs before he went down. Since he's been back, just in the last 30 days, he's hit 9 home runs, 31 RBIs, and his on-base percentage is .404. I mean, he was hitting .170 before he was sent down, and now he's hitting, I think, over that time frame, he's hitting over .300. So he's been unbelievable turnaround, and I don't exactly understand how somebody can go from being that bad with a trip down to the minors and just completely, apparently, turn it around.
I guess the reason why I bristled at that is because those Zunino numbers will crash back down.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Because he has strikeout problems. But what the Cubs are hoping is that he goes down there and sort of gets his head straight. I mean, the problem is he just doesn't fit on this team.
No, not at all. And he's much better off right now as a designated hitter.
Yeah, maybe a first baseman.
Maybe a first baseman. And yeah, there's really, I mean, he's not a left fielder by any means.
Oof, it's ugly.
It is.
But it's not the only ugliness over at the Cubs, John.
Yeah, you get a little I wouldn't even say trash talking, but throwing your pitcher under the bus. What happens when you do that? You get cut.
Good old Mike Montero.
Mikey Montero.
Mikey Montero. So there were 7 stolen bases against him last night.
He was 0 for 7.
And then he basically said it was Jake Arrieta's fault. And then the team was like, cool, thanks, you're fired.
Yeah, and it's interesting too because he's thrown out 1 base stealer out of 29 attempts this year. So kind of don't think it's the pitcher.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, that's not very good. But he took it like a man. He apologized. After he apologized, he was then ceremoniously given his walking papers. But you know, I thought that was a good example of taking care of business as it happened, because he was a complainer last year, even after they won the World Series. And he was, I don't want to say he was a World Series hero by any means, but he had a pretty big Game 7 with the home run. And he had a couple of big home runs earlier in the playoffs. And he still complained about how he was handled during the playoffs and his playing time in the second half of the season. It's not kind of the kind of person you want to have around a bunch of younger players that they're trying to build a much more positive culture. So I'm not overly surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I like about the move is obviously this isn't the first time that he's had a run-in with the team. Clearly people on the team don't like him. And this is a move where, you know, the Cubs are struggling, and this is the kind of thing you do. You make an example of someone, and then, you know, other people will get their heads together a little bit more. But then also it sort of bonds everyone together, and that's the stuff that's not on the stat sheet, you know. But, like, when people don't like playing together, they don't play as well. Anyone that's ever played sports will have experienced that. And so if the guy's being a jerk, he's being a jerk. Right. Cut him loose. Let the Yankees pick him up.
And he'll get picked up.
He had a pretty impressive 800 OPS.
Yeah, they'll picked up.
Yeah, he'll clear waivers because no one wants to pay that, whatever, $8 million that's left on his contract this year. But then, you know, the Yankees will pick him up, and he and Gary Sanchez can alternate between catcher and DH.
Yeah.
But 800 OPS is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
That's how much they didn't like him, John.
Speaking of impressive, Tim Tebow.
Sort of.
He hit a home run today.
Here's the thing. He got promoted to Class A.
Big step.
Right? Big step. Now, normally these are guys like around 19 to 22, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's, if you're still
22,
Class A and
you're
22,
bye-bye. your days are numbered.
Yeah. You're basically waiting for them to sign Tim Tebow and then get
right,
rid of you.
Yeah.
So that's good. He's 29, so that's bad, because technically a 29-year-old should be able to compete against 20-year-olds,
Right. And I think he's
sort
out.
Of like they're on this weird thing. Like, first of all, I hope he does well. I don't think he will, but why not? Like, what does anyone have to lose by this working out? I don't think he will. But, you know, he's moving up and they have to move him quickly to get him up to playing probably up to AAA by next year to see if it's even really a possibility.
Right. And he's probably the biggest news in the Mets, you know, organization right now because of
and as the Mets turn.
Right. But
did they lose another starting pitcher this week?
I don't know. Did they?
I think they lost.
Oh, yeah.
Gieselman.
Yeah. Gieselman or whatever. Was it a
Gisele Bündchenmann?
Yeah, Gisele Bündchenmann. He pulled a muscle running out to first base, right?
Yeah.
I think it was a calf muscle.
Conforto's out with a hand thing. Anyway, that Mets team is it's the MASH unit, as they say.
Yeah, they're not doing too well. But Tebow is not. At first, I thought it was a marketing thing, and Sandy Alderson said that he was promoted not because of how great he was playing, but he said based on the metrics that they look at, in particular his bat speed and contact were things that were above average, and they're saying that just with a little bit more time and working through. Becoming a baseball player after not playing for several years, it's at least worth.
And I think he can't take the normal route, right? The normal time that a person takes. He has to be pushed up through the systems because he's 29, and they have to see, like, okay, good, you got your bat speed back, you got your, your hand-eye coordination thing going. Can this work?
Yeah,
he needs to get up to AA and AAA to see if it actually can work.
Yeah, and he has to take a major step next year if there's going to be any hope of him even getting
a
cup of coffee.
But it'll be a fun story to follow along.
Yeah, definitely will. Speaking of fun stories to follow along, the Dodgers. What's going on here? This is the best winning streak since 1977, isn't it? Something like
crushing.
That?
Crushing.
Yeah.
Crushing. It's like they won 10 in a row, but also it was 16 of 17, and then they won... They finally lost a game, and then they won another one. So it's what, 17 out of 19 games alone in first place, as I told you they would be, John.
Yeah, you predicted that.
Yeah, actually, I think every division leader is as I predicted it right now. No. The Cubs are still a game out of first. But Nationals, Dodgers, Astros, Indians, and Red Sox all first place.
Most impressive.
What can I say?
The Swami.
I am a complete genius.
The Swami says.
And those were all pretty safe bets, though.
This is basically the Cody Bellinger show right now.
He's obviously been just like unbelievable. But everyone's, Puig's got 16 home runs or 15 home runs. Like, Puig, he's not even like a full-time player.
What happened with him? Did he had some obscene gesture thing that he was...
Yeah. They were going to suspend him, but then they waived the suspension for some reason. It's just Puig.
Because it was in Spanish or something? Not everybody got it? I don't know. I didn't know what he did.
I don't focus on the negative, John. Not till the next story.
unless it's about the Mets.
Unless it's about the Yankees. Then
that's true.
That's all I want to talk about. But it's been awesome. Pitching, starting pitching, relief pitching. Defense, hitting, like it's basically, they're basically like the Cubs from last year right now.
Right now, yeah, definitely. I would agree. So the next thing on our list here is David Ortiz. So are you?
Yes.
I'm assuming you watched that ceremony.
I took the weekend off, John.
Did you?
Not really. No, I didn't. Come on, who cares?
Was it on Sunday that they did it?
I don't even remember. I think it was Friday. It was a Friday night, I think.
That was
right?
A pretty quick retirement, or pretty quick retiring of his number, no?
Yeah. I mean, of course, they should retire his number. There'll never be another David Ortiz, blah, blah, blah. They named one of the streets in Boston there. I think, what was it? Yawkey Way Extension?
Right. So that's what, like, name? Is that like a garbage alley?
It was like begging to be renamed. Extension. Yeah, or some name like that, like... It wasn't
you have to go around, head down to the end of the parking lot behind center field, take a right, and you'll see the extension, and it's now David Ortiz Way.
Yeah. Well, they do that with streets when they rename streets. They're actually just renaming part of the street.
Mm-hmm. Right. They've done that out here.
Three blocks.
With Edgar Martinez. So they have the same
thing. Yeah. Another worthwhile guy to get a street named after him. Definitely should be in the Hall of Fame.
And I believe that Ortiz will probably beat him as the first DH into the Hall, but Edgar probably...
But may set the precedent.
What was that?
Well, may set the precedent for then. Edgar, at that point, would have to get in through...
The Veterans Committee.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever. Edgar should be in there, an incredible hitter, a better hitter than Ortiz overall, but...
Ortiz had the magic, you know? Yep, he was on the big stage moments... were never too big for him. That's for sure.
Did you hear about this this roast that they did?
No.
For him? Yeah, apparently they did a roast, and it became too offensive to air.
Not even Comedy Central would take it?
No, I think it was like a NESN thing, New England Sports Network. I think Gronkowski apparently made some off-color jokes.
Shocking.
And some other... person there made some off-color jokes.
Giselle Bundchen?
I don't think she made it. I don't know if Brady made it either, but there was some, I don't know, comedian or something. And again, I don't know what the off-color jokes were exactly, but they sounded pretty... From what I could piece together in the reports, it sounded pretty funny. But yeah, you don't want to put that on... No one wants to be the network that puts that on when you're just trying to have like a fun little roast, you know?
Except for Comedy Central.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If it was Comedy Central, then you can get away with that comedy tag.
Right.
If it's NESN, then it's a sports show.
Right. Big difference. So, right.
Yeah.
Speaking of Brady, did you see the little clip that was making the viral rounds with him over the weekend?
No, I did not.
he's over in, I don't know if it's in China, Japan, Korea. He's in an Asian country and was doing some sort of a skills thing with kids, a clinic type of thing. And one of the drills was showing the kids throwing the football into a bin that was like 5, 10, 20 yards away, 30 yards away. So they showed a clip of a girl throwing the ball, and it was maybe 10 yards away, and she got it into the little bin. And then Brady airs one out about 30 yards, and the bin's no more than 4 feet across. And Brady, of course, drops it right into the bin from 30 yards away.
And Falcons fans were watching that, crying their eyes out.
And the way he celebrated was just like throwing a touchdown pass in the playoffs. So it was pretty. Nice. It was a pretty cool thing.
Good for him. Greatest of all time.
Speaking of the greatest of all time,
or ish, in that
in
one
the,
of the
in
greats.
The shortstop-ish. Yankee in the Yankees era.
I mean, Hall of Fame for sure.
Definitely Hall of Fame. Yeah. I'll say Hall of Fame. Derek Jeter apparently is running a little bit short of cash in his effort to buy the Marlins.
You and I reported whatever 2 months ago. Reported.
Yes, we broke that news.
I haven't fallen too much of this CNN stuff. We were talking about
breaking news.
You and I that it looked like Jeb Bush and Jeter. Had the inside track and had the deal was like all but done, right? We were saying it was like $1.3 billion. It's Bush and Jeter and like, okay, good. Bush, you know, that family has run baseball teams before. Jeter, what a great ambassador for baseball, blah, blah, blah.
Two Florida guys, too.
It's all fallen apart. Jeter's now short of money. Jeb Bush has jumped ship to the Romney guys. That's tag Romney, as in tag, you're it.
Yeah, that's
because what do you do with a mitt? You tag, right? I don't know.
But they there's also another guy too, Matt something or other. I'm drawing a blank on the name. Some wealthy construction company. I think it's a construction company. I'm drawing a complete blank on this.
Is it a Florida-based construction company? Is that true? That sounds like mob.
I'd have to look it up. I could probably look it up on the Google, but it's really not worth
it. It'll be the Mafia Marlins.
But apparently this group has put in a bid of $1.1 billion, and there's now multiple groups in the fray. And I read something that said there's more than the three. There's only been three that have been named now. So that's still completely up in the air. I know that MLB is really pushing for Jeter to be in the position to, because he's the face of of a generation to many fans. And
yeah, and I think the Marlins of all teams especially need that, because mm-hmm. there's such a disconnect between the ownership and the fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there has been for so long, even though they've got the two titles. I always feel like when I talk to Marlins fans, including you, of which I know two others, and they've seemed like it's not, it just wasn't like, it's not a great experience being a Marlins fan.
No.
Regardless of having the World Series under
right.
the belt.
Right. You have those memories and that's about yeah. it. But the two, you know, primary owners, Izenga and now Loria, both leave a bad taste in your mouth because it was all yeah. about the money. For both of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, because it's like you have that girlfriend, you know, you went on that great vacation, but then you come back from the vacation and it's just that same old nightmare arguing about stuff that's stupid and
right. Like, you know, what am I doing?
Like, what am I doing here? And, you know, you're looking forward to the next vacation. Right. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe we went on a little trip to Palm Springs. Maybe that would do it.
Or you go out and spend, you know, $300 million on a left or right fielder and see if that works. And
right. Or you go out and spend a bunch of money on Jose Reyes and right. Mark Burley. And,
yeah,
and they're like, hey, everybody, look, we want to win. Yeah. Whoops, never mind. Let's trade everyone.
And, what was the big closer from the Padres was the other big acquisition that
Hoffman?
Year. No, the big guy.
Hoffman.
No. After that.
What?
Post-Hoffman.
Oh!
What was his name? And he,
I can't remember that guy's name, but yeah.
He was like a giant superstar for a while and then completely fell off the edge. Was gone.
Yeah, it's
in a heartbeat.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, and he was so impressive that we completely forgot his name.
Yes, exactly.
So that wraps up headlines.
And it does wrap them up.
Yeah, so now we get into the starting nine in the UFO portion of our show.
More UFOs, John.
That's true. Part two.
Part two of the UFO. Sequel. Yes, it's the Close Encounters of the Second Kind.
Yes.
I'm actually not familiar with the different kinds are. Third kind is...
visual. Fourth kind is contact.
Is actual contact,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The second kind is spotting it through a telescope, and the first kind is getting to his hand underneath the shirt.
Right.
Is that what it is?
That's the first kind. Maybe okay, it's the first kind.
No, that's the second kind.
Yes, the second kind.
Hand underneath the shirt is the second kind.
And first
kind is just kissing.
Right. First kind is okay. When they observe you while you're sleeping.
Yes. Which
in
happens
an eerie kind
more
of
frequently
way.
Than we want to know, yes.
In exactly. a creepy, very creepy kind of voyeuristic way.
Wait, did I tell you about my exes? All right, anyway, let's do this. So this July 2nd or July 3rd, July 2nd, you know, for those of you in, I don't know,
across the
Hawaii,
international dateline?
I don't know, I'm messed up. July 3rd, Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek story is coming out, which is a very cool documentary about UFO stuff that will trip your balls through the back of your head. directed by our very own John Sumple. And for that, in honor of that, I have nine players with alien-related names.
I like that it's alien-related versus alien-sounding. So this is going to be interesting, and I can't wait.
Well, frankly, it would just be all like, you know, Dutch names. Those all sound like alien names to me.
Okay.
And there's only like three of those guys.
Okay.
All right, so.
Let her rip.
Okay, here we go. So I'm going to go simple. I always go simple first just to get some of these out of the way. So from Men in Black, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of aliens in that movie. One of the main characters is named Jay, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's Will Smith's character. So we have John Jay.
John Jay, very good.
That's the major league player that correlates to Jay.
And now people are getting the hang of it. They understand yeah. the connection. Okay.
We try to keep it simple. Okay. So from Aliens, we have Corporal Hicks, Corporal Aaron Hicks from the Yankees.
Yes, very good.
Out with an injury, possibly acid blood.
Awesome.
Could be. We're not sure.
In the face?
I don't think it was in the face. I don't think Hicks was in the chest, right?
Oh, yes, it was. That's right.
Yeah. And then he died in the third one in the crash, and what a terrible way to start that movie. Anyway, here's one. So from Predator, right? Again, another alien-related film. There's the lead character's name is Dutch. Mm-hmm. So I've got Greg Holland.
It works. It definitely works. Yeah.
It connects. Okay, so... from Galaxy Quest, which has aliens. Jason Nesmith is the name of Tim Allen's character. So I got Seth Smith.
That's good. Yeah.
It's a weak one. Oh, E.T., catching prospect Reese McGuire.
Reese's Pieces. Good. Yeah.
That's right. That's a good one. That's what he calls his catching equipment. They're Reese's Pieces.
Instead of the tools of ignorance, it's Reese's Pieces.
Yeah. Hey, can you hand me my Reese's Pieces?
That's good comedy.
So that's for E.T. So E.T. it was an alien, to be clear. All right. Let's bring it up to the modern day. Arrival, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like that movie.
Great movie.
The coffee cup stain talking people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Very entertaining for the most part. Visually very interesting. The lead character's name, not a memorable name, Dr. Louise Banks. And for that, I have Louise Severino.
Good. I like that. These are good. You're bringing it home with the connections.
These were tough. I thought like, hey, I'll just look up a bunch of names from alien movies. And like, everyone's got stupid names. Case in point, Ellie Arroway from Contact.
Mm-hmm.
Arroway, Arroyo, okay. Bronson Arroyo.
There you go. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That is a connection that took some thought. I appreciate
what
that.
What about Joaquin Benwali? That's a good movie.
It is a great movie.
That's a good movie. People Without Kids, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, that's a good movie, even if you don't have kids.
Yes, it is.
WALL-E, check it out.
It's
and
a
last,
very prophetic movie to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah. It's exceptional. It means lots of different stuff to lots of different people. Last and definitely not least, because she's the most important person connected with aliens, Ripley.
Yes.
And so, of course, for Ripley, I'm choosing Lance Lynn. Why do you ask? Because it's Ellen Ripley, as in L. Lynn.
Lance Lynn.
See, Ellen.
This may be, to me, this one seems like you spent the most time making those connections.
I will say that was the easiest one for me to do.
Was it really?
I opened up a list of baseball players and Lance Lynn was right there on the screen. Oh, and I thought, Lynn, Lance Lynn, L. Lynn, L. Lynn Ripley.
I'm very impressed.
God forbid there's a player named Ripley, by the way. Like,
believe it or not.
Like, please, let's get on this, people. Yeah. Families with the last name Ripley, please create major league ball players. So
there's
this
not
is
a single. There's
future.
Probably not a single player named Ripley in baseball, right?
Not there's not even a Rip. That's like nice. There's Rip Ken, but he retired whatever 15
Forever
years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lance Lynn.
Okay, there's a... we have to go back to Walt Ripley in 1935. And there was an Alan Ripley that played from 78 to 82. So we're going...
But our rules are these have to be active players.
Right. So those are the only two Ripleys
to
ever pick up a baseball in the major leagues.
Funny story. I went to a school with a guy named Ripley. He became a Navy SEAL.
Oh. Wow.
I write jokes. He became a Navy SEAL. Oh, what did he do when he wasn't being a Navy SEAL guy? Oh, you know, repairing submarines. I sit around my New York apartment writing jokes, John.
Well,
he became a Navy SEAL.
We went
to the same school.
This is very interesting. I mentioned those two players. They are related, father and son, Walt Ripley and Alan Ripley.
So one could say that one is the sequel.
Right.
So is Walt the Prometheus?
He is the yes.
To his alien, or is he the alien?
Walt is the Prometheus.
His alien covenant.
Yeah, Walt would be the Prometheus.
Okay.
So I think we might have lost the audience with this tangent on Ripley's.
People love Aliens, though, man.
Yeah, they do. I haven't seen the new one yet. People love Aliens. I know you said it wasn't that good, but I still want to see it.
Yeah, I mean, if I had stayed at home and watched it, it would have been better, because then I could have just turned it off and gone and take a poop or something, and that would have been more entertaining.
The struggle.
Yeah, no,
is real.
I thought it was terrible. Yeah. It was terrible. But this country continues to be fascinated by UFOs and aliens, and I have a good feeling your film will do very well. It's a very entertaining film. It's a gripping film, and so it's just perfect for, you know, where a lot of people's heads are at right now, because a lot of people want to break from all this crappy government stuff. So it's like, hey, let's watch some stuff that
makes you wonder.
Maybe even further out of our control than politics.
and we knew when we made this film it was going to be a polarizing film. So if you look at the reviews, they're either 4 or 5 stars or 1 or 2 stars. There's very few. And I mean, it's about even on both sides, which to me means we did something right, because there's 2 sides of the fence, and people are definitely one position or the other.
But one of my favorite movies of all time, because I have, not to make this about me, John, but we're talking about reviews, and I'm always going to make that about me, is I have a very similar situation with my Nowhere Girl film, where it's 5 stars and 1 stars, or 2 stars and 4. It's very few people with 3. Mm-hmm. But it connects with some people, and other people it doesn't connect with, or they have their other things. One of my favorite movies of all time, Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah.
Same thing. Right.
Yeah,
it's all 1 stars and 5 stars. Yeah. And sometimes that's the best kind of film, because do you want to appeal to everyone? Do you just want to present facts and, you know, water it down so that everyone... Right. No, you want to rub some people the wrong way. And I think your film's going to do that.
Some of my favorite comments have been like, the acting was horrible. It's a freaking documentary. No, the acting was horrible. Whoever wrote the scripts for the phone calls, those were just bad. It's like, really? Okay.
Those recorded phone calls?
Yeah, those recorded calls that were scripted. Yeah, that's rather interesting. But yeah, I appreciate the call out. And folks, take a look at it. It is going to be, if you look up the title of the film, Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek story, on Netflix right now, it might bring you to a page, that coming soon page, but it's not something that you can queue yet. But it should be up by the 3rd.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. I appreciate you throwing the movie a bone, and we look forward to...
John, I'm happy to give you my bone anytime I can.
So let's talk about Juiced Balls then.
Right. We're doing our segment, ICYMI.
Right.
In case you missed it.
And we did bring this up last week a little bit.
Yes. And we mentioned that we would do it as an ICYMI, I think, right?
Yes, we did.
Or maybe I just said we were going to talk about it.
No, you did say it would be in case you missed it.
Right. Okay, good. So here's the deal. There are more home runs this year than last year. And last year, starting around the middle of the year, there was a sudden surge in home runs. Some people tried to explain it away, like, oh, well, hitters are becoming more like, who's the guy, the second baseman for the Nationals?
Daniel Murphy.
Yeah. You know, there are guys who've decided to change their launch angle or to try to attack inside pitches and lift them up in the air a little bit more. And that has definitely, there are players that have done that. Yonder Alonso is an example. Another guy who went from having Smoke's another guy. Mm-hmm. These are guys who had, you know, low teens home runs, now are well past that, and we're not even halfway through the season. And they're just getting the ball in the air, so that's going to create more home runs. But it wasn't creating more runs necessarily, because you're just offsetting, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're going to make more outs and have more home runs, right? So mm-hmm. it was all sort of balancing out. And then around mid-season last year, it spiked. And it stayed spiked all the way to the end of the season. And they started wondering, well, is this juiced balls? Is this, you know, is something going on here? Because, you know, back in the home run heyday of steroids and whatnot, a lot of people feel that juiced balls were part of the steroid stuff. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just steroids that were making all those big home run races where Bonds got 70 home runs and McGuire got 65 or 68 or whatever.
And it brought fans back to the game, really, was what the main...
Because people do love home runs.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was the 92-93 season. There was it was shortened by a strike, and there was a popularity kind of waned a little bit. Attendance went down, and all of that, steroids and the juice ball theories, steroids wasn't a theory, but all of that started happening, and it brought fans back to the game. And
I don't necessarily have a problem with juicing the balls.
Because it's consistent for everybody.
Yeah, it's consistent for everybody. As long as everyone's getting it consistent, then great.
Yeah.
So then, in the offseason, Major League Baseball is like, oh, no, look at our numbers. Our numbers show that the ball is not juice. And I don't know why they took this angle on it, but they took this angle. And then some more people did some research on it, and they actually were measuring the balls, like, you know, down to the micro whatever, and the balls are different. And if you slightly modify the ball in just within parameters, right? It's like the whole Deflategate thing, right? Like, it needs to be 12 to 15 PSI or whatever it was, 12 to 16.
Right.
And so Brady liked it at 12, and some people like it at 16. It was at Aaron Rodgers likes it fully blown up, and he even tried to get it blown up beyond what's allowed because that's what he prefers. Right. Mm-hmm. So probably also because the cold weather freezes the ball and shrinks it a little bit. So whatever. So as long as it's within the guidelines, it's fine. So Major League Baseball opened up or not opened up, but they changed ball production to another facility. And yes, whatever changed from that facility to that facility, they've opened up balls and compared them. That sounds funny. Anyway, hey, when you open up your balls, you never know what's going to come out.
That's right. It could be an alien.
And it could be, right? But anyway, because the threads on the ball are just micro differences, and of course everything is about, you know, how it affects how the ball travels through the air and acts against gravity and all that stuff.
High the seams are, how tight the seams are, a lot of variables. It's one of those things that there are a lot of variables. There's the core, there's the tightness of the wound string, there's the rawhide, the density of the rawhide, there's the stitch, and a lot of different things.
Yeah. And so now you're seeing almost on a, I don't know, I don't want to say a daily basis, but at least a weekly basis, some new person coming out with another report saying, yes, the balls are different. That's why there's all these home runs. So these guys who are changing their launch angles, it's not like, oh my gosh, I should have changed my launch angle years ago. It's like the ball is juiced.
Right.
Change your launch angle.
Right. To take advantage of
it. Because the ball is juiced to take advantage of it. So you're going to see a lot more of this for a while. I wouldn't imagine they would, you know, recalibrate because, you know, it's baseball. Everyone's enjoying the game. So why, who cares?
Yeah. And it's not rewriting the record book in the way that the steroids era did. So it's, I think we're good. Unless Bellinger and Judge each hit, you know, 70 home runs this year.
The Bellinger and Judge thing is just so crazy to me. Like, those guys, they're so much better than everyone right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. A couple of rookies just come in and just being the best
Bellinger's
in the league right away.
On pace to hit 80 home runs.
So it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Because he doesn't look like that. He reminds me a lot of Sean Green, actually. Mm-hmm. Sort of like a little lanky, but with a pretty swing. And,
yeah.
But he's crushing lefties and righties. And
yeah, he definitely has a sweet swing.
Yeah. I mean, the batting average is still a little bit low. You know, he's going to have trouble with strikeouts. But I think, again, launch angle and whatever, he just keeps – it's awesome.
And he's had six multi-homer games already.
It's so crazy.
It's crazy.
Dodgers fans must be so excited to have this guy because they thought Peterson was going to be that guy.
And
Seager's kind of that guy.
Seager will, yeah. But still, you bring up – when you look at the last 3 years and what they've brought up, you got three cornerstones. You know, right with those three players right there.
Yeah, remember in the offseason, it was like, oh, maybe they'll trade for Ryan Braun. Where would they play him?
Right. They don't need any more outfielders.
Where would they
put
Ryan Braun? Why would they trade for someone who might get injured?
Right.
Who has been injured
pretty much half the season so far.
Yeah, half the season. DL exactly. Stints. So, I mean, there's still the Adrian Gonzalez thing, right? Like, who is he when he comes back? Do Bellinger plays first? Do they mix and match? Or do they go out and just get a guy who will be 10% better getting them through the playoffs than what they have,
veteran presence in Gonzalez, which isn't a bad thing. Not that they don't have any other veterans, but I wouldn't mind having that bat coming off the bench later in the season.
But would he, though, like, as much of a veteran as he is, $20 million guy sitting on the bench, I'm not sure.
If he has a chance to win a World Series, he might not complain too much. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of pride there.
Ask Miguel Montero if he wouldn't complain too much.
But the Dodgers, more than any team in baseball, would be more than happy to keep a $20 million player on the bench if they're winning.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there's not a lot of teams that would say, you know, most teams are going to be like, well, sorry, you know, unfortunately, we had a guy making $20 million. We got to put him out there. Winning is more important, and the Dodgers have spent a boatload of money to get to this point. There's no reason to mess with chemistry right now.
Yeah, I'm looking up his contract right now. He's making $21 million a year. He signed through 2018.
Oh.
Wow, what a terrible contract the Red Sox signed him to. Whew. That is a stink burger, man.
And his production dropped off the table, too.
So, but I don't know, like this year and then next year, that's not too bad. That's not Pujols.
No. At least Pujols is being productive.
Well, did you read that article on Fangraphs about him where he's basically the worst position player in baseball right now, or second worst, actually?
Pujols is.
But he is producing in high-leverage situations. But his overall numbers are, he's like minus one wins above replacement.
But he's not playing first that much, is he? He's DHing quite a bit?
But what they're saying is, because his on-base percentage is 280 or whatever. Yeah. Oof. Right? Oof. Remember, this guy used to have like a 420 on-base percentage.
So basically, he's hitting home runs or striking out.
But he's doing well.
Or ground balls and jogging down.
When it matters. So I don't know how he's doing it, but he is definitely doing it. It was an interesting article. Basically, it was like, because the Angels, basically, it was like the article, someone on the Angels was like, well, or someone told the Angels, like, this is the worst player in baseball. And of course, whatever, his contract doesn't help this conversation. But, and then the Angels were like, well, he's bad or whatever, but he performs, he's performing when we need him to, was basically their argument. And as a matter of fact, he is really, really good when it's a high leverage situation. So there's that.
This is a little bit of an aside, but did you see, speaking of somebody, you know, statistics and stuff, did you see that Hanley Ramirez, someone brought it to his attention that how poorly he was hitting against lefties? And he was like, I'm not hitting that bad, am I? And he's like, well, why didn't somebody tell me? I'm going to rectify this.
Yeah, because he was like, I crushed lefties. Usually, not this year, pal.
Right. And they're like, well, not this year, 135. And he's like, what are you talking about? So it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. But I thought that was a rather interesting story.
Well, there's an interesting, I don't know what the word is. I do know what the word is, but for some reason I'm so tired that I can't think of it. But there's that sort of like that interaction between the advanced metrics and players. Some guys are really into it. Some guys are not a lot into it. But when guys are struggling, they become a lot more interested in advanced metrics.
They become interested because it's brought to their attention by the management.
Well, you like Mike Trout, you know, like 4 years ago, it was like, yeah, he's a great player, but look, he can't hit the high fastball. So what does he do? He works on hitting the high fastball. Good. So then they're like, well, you're doing great. You're a great player and you hit the high fastball, but you're striking out too much. So what does he do? He cuts his strikeouts down 25%. Like that's using metrics to help a player. But you have to bring it to their attention.
Right. And if they don't do anything about it, you know, you got some of their old school players and the new school players. And most teams now are definitely in the sabermetric world and using the advanced metrics to measure everything. Yeah. And it has created a completely different ball game from the front office perspective. Yeah. The teams that don't follow the metrics as closely as others are being left behind a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I mean, it used to be that was pretty much the Phillies, but they got new people in there and they're catching up. So good for them.
Yeah. The Marlins are now kind of, I would put them in that category. This year was the first year that they made an effort. They hired somebody who I think was from the Pirates, to handle some of their metrics. I think it was the Pirates, but they were a laggard definitely in that category.
What else?
So that wraps up, in case you missed it, the juice ball, theory or conspiracy theory or proven theory, depending.
Not as unproven as some UFO claims, but proven more than other UFO claims. Wait a minute. No. Not as un-not proven. I don't know what I'm saying. I was trying to do a UFO tie-in. Like, some of the UFO stuff is bunk, but some of it's pretty provable. So let's talk about All-Star people.
Let's do that with Are You Buying It? We're going to do the All-Star vote leader version of Are You Buying It?
Let's just breeze through these because we're not doing a full Are You Buying It thing.
Yeah, so these are all people who have been voted, are leading
these are the leaders as positions. Of, I think, yesterday. But by the time people hear this podcast, it might have changed slightly because some of these were really close. Mm-hmm. So I'm listing them anyway because they shouldn't be close or because they should definitely be on there. So first up is Ryan Zimmerman. And I don't know.
Career year.
You and I have talked about this. The Washington / Baltimore vote fraud.
Yes.
That happens every year. This happened. I'm telling you, those guys go in there and they're like, they're just so used to being screwed over by politicians. They're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to gerrymander this. We're going to change the voting districts. You don't need any IDs. And let's vote for Ryan Zimmerman.
And Paul Goldschmidt is, like, I think, third.
Yeah.
Which makes Rizzo, no sense.
Rizzo is the Cubs World Series winning first baseman. So it's either Rizzo or Goldschmidt. Don't give me this Ryan Zimmerman crap.
Right.
Next up.
But you're still buying.
I still think his numbers are legit.
Yeah.
This isn't about their numbers. Yeah.
Okay. This is about, gotcha. Whether they should be even considered
for the All-Star starting All-Stars, and they shouldn't be.
Right. Okay. No. Zach Cozart.
Okay, great numbers, career year, but wait a second. Corey Seager is behind this guy? Sorry.
Right.
Corey Seager was Rookie of the Year last year and almost won the MVP. Don't give me this Zach Cozart crap. I don't know what's happened in Cincinnati, but it's making me red. I don't know. I'm getting tired. I'm getting a little fudgy here.
How about Marcell Ozuna?
I was more just surprised he was on the list. He's having a good year. What? How does?
Yeah,
is that
of
just one of the ahead of
how
Stanton?
That happen?
That's the thing. Is like,
yeah,
what Cozart, Ozuna, Zimmerman? It's like people aren't voting for the All Stars. That's what they should be doing. Who gives a crap about whose numbers are slightly better? Who? That's stupid.
And that's usually not what happens. And it is a little bit. It's usually a popularity contest.
For the most part.
The first three names here are not popularity.
So Marcell, and maybe it's just like, because like, honestly, John, besides Stanton, who's not having a great year, who else should be the starting outfielder for the National League? Bellinger, I don't think is eligible. I don't think he was on the list. He'll probably make the team, you know, but he can't get voted in. But like McCutcheon is having a good June and a bit of May, but he was so bad to start the year. I don't know. It's almost like it's partially, I'm surprised Ozuna's on there, but then like who else would be there? Like there's just not a lot of outfielders in the National League right now.
Yeah, I went through the list earlier this week and I was surprised by, as I was going through them, like almost every single category, it was like, well, there's really only one player that deserves this at this point, you know, except for the outfielder. Outfielder always has, five or so that are, you know, top notch players. But it just was one of those things as you're going through it. I'm like, one, I don't remember what position it was. I'm like, who? Nothing really is popping out here.
Is that American League shortstop. That's a dang shame.
Because
they got Lindor, they got Correa, they got someone else.
I think I voted for Correa for that.
He's great.
Yeah, he is. So Eric Hosmer is of the, was it 2 years ago, like five Royals were voted to the All-Star game?
God bless the Royals. They have a bad team this year, but they're still voting their guys. That's why Hosmer's on there. He's got some nice offensive numbers, but his overall numbers are no bueno, and he should no be an All-Star.
No, one of the worst first basemen in the game.
Surprisingly.
How about Miguel
Sano? Absolutely. This guy's a star. He's hitting the ball harder. He and Aaron Judge are the two hardest ball hitters. Sorry. This guy is, he finally figured it out. They took him out of the outfield. They make him play third base in DH where he belonged. They should have never put him in the outfield. You don't put guys that are that big in the outfield because they just get all tired running around. Trust me, I know. You get tired running around when you're a big dude. The guy's a hitter. Let him hit. He's playing third base. He's playing DH, and he is hitting the snot out of the ball. And it's great to see. Right. And he's the first place vote getter in the American League.
And the last one is the no brainer.
Aaron Judge should be leading the votes. He's a nationwide sensation. Part of the Red Sox fan in me is kind of like, yeah, but Mookie Betts is really good too. But Aaron Judge is whatever, 506 home runs already. Batting a million, playing great defense. He absolutely deserves it. And
he also has a area in the outfield in Yankee Stadium designated for, it's called the Judge's Chamber. And they give, I think there's like 18 seats or something like that. And the Yankees PR staff walks around, finds fans and gives them tickets into that. And they give them wigs and foam gavels and robes. So they all kind of sit in the Judge's chambers and cheer on Aaron
Judge. That's awesome.
Every Yankees home
when
game.
The humidity comes into,
so un-Yankees
comes into town, I'm not sure that that's going to be so amazing.
Right.
That would be more like a severe punishment. But that's very, he deserves it. He's, again, All-Star is about great players that also will bring more fans to the game. He is bringing more fans to the game. He's an exciting young player, though not as young as Cody Bellinger. I think Bellinger is a good 3 or 4 years younger than Judge for however that worked out. So that's, if you're a fan of a team that plays against the Dodgers, that's too bad for you. Right. But I think Aaron Judge is getting closer to that peak age, right? He's like 26. I think so. Anyway, so there you go. There's your Are You Buying It? Who's on first and all that stuff for the All-Stars.
Great. Fantastic. We're just moving right along.
Looks like Judge hit another home run tonight.
He did tonight?
27. It's incredible, man.
He's going to have 30 home runs by the break.
Yeah. Good for him.
Pretty impressive. Okay, time for extra innings. Taking a look outside the world of baseball. The first story was a rather interesting one because this could be a domino falling. The Supreme Court has decided to hear New Jersey's the case for New Jersey legalizing sports betting. And this is something that was given the death knell when it first came out because of all the negative publicity against it. But it appears that they're going to give a listen and it could change a lot as far as sports betting is concerned.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why it is that Nevada can be a sovereign state and decide to have legalized gambling, but New Jersey can't do that. It feels like that should be a state thing.
Right. I read something. There was an article, I think it was on ESPN, that it said Nevada and a few other states, didn't list what the other states were, smaller states. Mm.
I know in North Dakota, a half a dozen. They have like casino games at just random hotels. It's not, but I don't know about actual sports betting.
But it's because if this goes through, then you're going to have a bunch of other states lining up right behind it to do the same thing.
And you know who's against that? Nevada. Nevada is the one fighting most because then you take away Nevada's ability to do it and then it becomes, well, everyone can do it. I still think that the way Nevada has turned itself into sort of like a resort place is Vegas, not Nevada. Nevada is in itself is not a resort place. It is a giant wasteland of nothingness. And then in the bottom left corner of it is Las Vegas. Anyway, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see. First of all, there were a couple of cases the Supreme Court decided to take up that many thought would be passed over, and so it's going to be interesting times to see where this goes. Because yes, if New Jersey can have legalized sports gambling, then why not Oklahoma? And then if Oklahoma has it, then why not New Mexico? And again, these are states' rights. One of the things I love the most about this Donald Trump's presidency is Trump coming up with some. I won't qualify how he came up with it, but he'll come up with some order or something. And then states and cities saying, well, you know what, sir? Well, we'll just take care of that ourselves. Like, good. That's how the government was built in the first place. This whole thing where the federal government takes over and runs everything, that was never the plan. Like, well, we'll just have to handle our own schools if you're going to be that way about it. Like, well, okay.
Not a
bad
idea.
Please go ahead and do that. That's, you are a state, sir. You know, I think a lot of people over the last, I don't know, want to say 50, 60 years, whatever, maybe even longer, have lost sight of what a state is.
Well, a lot of it had to do with the New Deal and post-World War II.
Right, so 50, 60 years. Kind of, I'm close.
Yeah.
But good, people good lose man. Sight of it. Like, you're a state. Like, here's the thing. If your state has laws you don't like, you know what you can do? You can move to another state.
Right.
That's what's amazing. And you don't need to move. It's not like moving to another country.
Or run for office or, you know, go get out the vote.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. You can act for change and all that stuff. But if it's just like.
It's a lot easier. Definitely easier to move.
If you're a conservative and you're living in California and you say, you know what? I don't like the way these hippies are running things. And you know what?
Right.
Move to a state that is more conservative.
Liberals living in the South shouldn't be complaining. It's like,
exactly. If you're a liberal and you think things should be run a certain way and they aren't in your area, and you're just like, well, it's overwhelming and I don't want to run for office. I want to keep running my whatever business I'm doing or whatever thing. You know what? Move to California, man. Right. Liberals are very welcome in California. Anyway, I don't know how we got onto that. Supreme Court, yeah, New Jersey, states. Good. Next story.
So I added this one in there. Phil Jackson and the Knicks agreeing early this morning to part ways.
Oh, yes. That is worthwhile news. Yeah. So that was $60 million well spent.
It was a total disaster.
It reminds me of, do you remember that scene in the second Batman? Not the older Batmans, like Batman Forever or whatever, but the Christopher Nolan ones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the Joker has a giant pile of money and he just sets it all on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was the Phil Jackson with the Knicks.
And wasn't it Krause that said, the GM for the Bulls said that the only reason that Phil Jackson went to New York was the amount of money they gave him.
Yeah.
$12 million
a year. That's not a bad gig. For something he had never done before. Yeah.
And they were saying, too, is that one of the articles, or there's a lot of criticism coming out right now and piling on because, you know, he's not winning or carry on, you know, it's tainted his legacy.
Yeah.
But some of the criticisms have been is he was surrounded by great GMs that did all the heavy lifting for him when he was the coach. He was never in a position to do that. He's not a great scouter. He doesn't do a lot of advance on prospects. So
he's
definitely put the team at a huge disadvantage and he's laughing all the way to the bank. I really don't think he cares, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but why would you hire this guy? He had never done anything like it before.
He's a favorite son with the Knicks. He's from the Red Holtzman era. And
it's
he was
so
the,
crazy,
the grinder.
Though. He'd never done anything before.
I know. They just thought
and
that they were
going to... And they had just gotten rid of Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, which was... That worked out well.
Here's a trick. Learn your lesson. Hires a basketball guy.
Right. It'll be interesting to see what happens next. And I think that, you know, him leaving may actually be a huge positive because he created a lot of toxicity within that clubhouse.
Yeah. I mean, that team's a wreck. And I, if I were them, I would just trade off what you can and try to get some draft picks back and whatever. But
whew. And that's what Jackson was considering going into the draft was blowing it up.
Yeah.
But we'll see. You know, the Knicks, they've been in the playoffs once in 17 years. The Zen Master has gone off into the sunset.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to be.
Why don't we put him in charge of, like, you know, the Department of Labor? He's never done anything like that before, but what's the worst that could happen?
That's true.
Was this guy a New York City mayor? Anyway, sorry. I've been here 8 months and I'm already totally soured on the mayoral situation.
Well, that's a perfect segue into the next one because there's another New York favorite son with a little bit of soured attitude. John McEnroe dishing some, the way it was interpreted based on the headlines, if you didn't hear the way he said it, taken out of context, sounded really, really bad. He's saying that Serena Williams wouldn't be number 700. She would be around number 700 in the men's game if she was playing the men's circuit full time.
And to be clear, though, the sentence before that is she's the best women's player of all time. McEnroe said that about her.
So people who were piling on him just looked at that quote, but Martina Navratilova, Chris Evert have said the same thing.
Yeah.
Even Serena said that if she were to play, she said she might, I might win, but I would never be a top player on the men's tour because it's a completely different game.
Wait, are you telling me, John, that men are more athletic than women, generally speaking? Like, biologically speaking?
Biologically.
Okay. So if you had the most athletic man go up against the most athletic woman, the most athletic man would be more athletic?
Most likely, yes.
Okay.
And I'm not. I mean, I remember the whole Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs thing.
I remember.
Riggs played her, I think, when he was 70.
Right. And so, also, little known thing about that came out on ESPN a couple of years ago, and which I knew about for a couple decades, was Riggs bet on her to win. And he threw the match.
Smart man.
Right?
Smart man. Yeah.
No, I knew one of my, when I was a younger guy, I used to do work for Los Angeles Tennis Magazine. And the publisher of that magazine was very good friends with Bobby Riggs. And he said, hey, you can't tell anyone, but, which I guess I'm breaking right now, but he said, you can't tell anyone, but you know, Bobby threw it. He bet on Billie Jean. Anyway, so this article came out a couple of years ago on ESPN by Don Vanatta and said the same thing. And I contacted him on Twitter and I was like, hey, you just so you know, like, yeah, this is absolutely true. Because he's like, it's all still sort of like they're speculating that he did, that Riggs threw it. But, you know, he might not have like thrown it, but maybe just didn't give it 100%. I don't know if a 70-year-old guy is going to beat a 35-year-old woman anyway.
Right.
But he bet against himself and won a lot of money. That's what John McEnroe should do. And you know what he did?
Right.
He bet against his public image, and now his book sales went up 20%, I guarantee, from all this brouhaha. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, there's no such thing as bad PR.
Yeah.
You know,
you got a book coming out.
Speaking of bad PR, I've set a record for saying speaking of. I think this is like the eighth or ninth time I've said it this show.
Speaking of setting records.
Yes, LeVar Ball. What the heck is going on with this clown?
This guy, look, part of me loves the fact that there's just another crazy person out there. And this guy strikes me as just another crazy person. I love it. This is Lonzo Ball's dad, right? First of all, love having a basketball player named Ball because that's very simple, easy to remember,
yes.
Right? Drafted by the Lakers, dream come true, perfect situation for LeVar Ball, who is, what do you say, an opportunist? Is that a nice way of putting
definitely.
It? Like a publicity opportunist?
Sideshow Barker.
Sideshow Barker. He has teamed up with WWE and showed up at the Raw event and tore off his shirt. His
shirt and well, got all mean.
Yeah, and maybe he's going to be a heel now. He's already been sort of a heel, but he's playing the part now. I love it. I love, you know, crazy people running around and you know,
I just hope he doesn't become the story next year and let Lonzo do his thing and let that be the story. But I have a feeling that LeVar is going to be inserting himself. Yeah.
That is a freight train out of control going to crazy town. And
it's going to be interesting to see at what point Magic steps in and says, okay, enough.
And they're going to be like, all right, Magic, give us the HIV cure. Stop hiding it from everyone. And give us free tickets to your movie theaters. We'll think about it.
Right.
Something like that. Also, he owns a lot of Starbucks, doesn't he? Isn't that the...
Does he really? I didn't know that.
Maybe it's not Starbucks, but I know he owns like a lot of businesses that don't say Magic Johnson's Starbucks or whatever. Anyway.
Including the Dodgers.
Side note. Yeah, he's a piece of the Dodgers as well. Does he still have that or did he have to relinquish that to jump in with the Lakers?
Yeah, when he went back to the Lakers. Yeah, I don't know.
Lakers is a better place for him. I don't know that I care if he has anything to do with the Dodgers.
He was
LA.
Yeah,
Los Angeles.
The name added some clout to the group
some magic.
Bought. Yeah, some magic to it.
We bring the humor sometimes. Speaking of funny humor, people.
That laugh riot Bill Cosby says that his town halls are not going to be about sexual assault. Why would anybody else go other than to hear his side of the story?
Well, here's the thing.
I would be
right?
like, I'm not going to, you know, thanks for coming, but we're not going to address the elephant in the room. I'm just going to talk about what I want to talk.
Well, no, John, did you not hear this?
So I didn't.
The story was he's going to do these town halls or whatever. And then someone ran with it that it wasn't, that they were going to be like, how to get out of sexual assault charges, like as a legitimate story. Like, so someone dropped some parody somewhere, and then people went crazy with it as if it was a real story, that he was actually going to be going town to town telling people how to get out of sexual assault charges to avoid getting into sexual assault charges. No, it's fantastic. This is the way Twitter is now, though, right? Like,
yeah.
Like creating news that is travels five times around the world before, you know, the truth can put its shoes on, right? Isn't that something like that? That's a paraphrase.
That's a good one.
But so, you know, and all these people are like so self-righteous about the truth and of this, and then they'll report on blindly share information that's completely insane. That you don't you have to stop for a second and think maybe Bill Cosby isn't going to give seminars on how to get out of sexual assault charges?
But is he tell me that he's not doing any speaking engagements.
I think he is going to. He considers that he's not guilty, or that these were all consenting situations.
Or he's just like, I might as well take advantage of my notoriety right now, and people are going
to
come.
People were coming when the charges started coming out. People were still coming to see him. Because, you know, you have that thing where, like, you know, some of his fans are going to hunker down and be like, you know, this is, we're a fan
just,
and we support
you. They just want to hear him do the Jell-O pudding pop thing.
Exactly. That's all they
want.
That's
all they care.
They're simple people who just want simple things. Exactly.
Okay, let's wrap up the show with the big opening film. Is it this weekend or next weekend? This weekend. It's got to be the holiday weekend, right?
Yeah,
Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Yeah, this is my wife's joke, but what happens during this reboot is in the middle of the movie, it stops and it reboots to another Spider-Man film.
This is crazy. It's
and then halfway through that film, it reboots again. You're going to go see three Spider-Man movies this weekend. That's what's happening.
It's crazy that this franchise has been out, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
And it's been rebooted. This is the third time.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Crazy. And then there's like, it's been rebooted, but then it's also in the Marvel Universe stuff or whatever the...
Yeah, it's all starting to become a blur, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's just, you know... It's what's what I can't keep track.
You know what it is? It's an unidentified filming object.
That's good. That, you know what? And that might be a very good way to end the show.
Let's
do
it.
A little UFO humor.